have a lot of scriptures today, but I want to preach to you something we all need. We all need to hear. We all need to allow the Word of God to speak to our lives. How many of you are willing to try to do that today? Allow the Word of God to speak to your life. Amen. We're going to activate the Word of God today. You know, we talk a lot about prayer and worship and praise and all of those things that are necessary and important. And in talking about those things, we teach in prayer and we teach in Bible studies and things of that nature to live the Word of God, to put into practice. When we put into practice the Word of God, we activate the Word of God in our lives. Does that make sense? Amen. Today we're going to, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am, and in Jesus' name you will, activate the Word of God in your life. Amen. Amen. With no further ado, we're going to go ahead to the book of Hebrews, chapter 33. Excuse me, Lord in heaven, help me. Hebrews 11, help me, Jesus. We'll get there, I promise. Amen. My eyes aren't what they used to be, and when I look down and this is all jacked up, it's hard to see it. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. I know some of you already know this. You could quote it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Matthew 17 and verse 20, Jesus speaking to them after doing a miraculous thing, casting out, doing all these wonderful things. And Jesus said unto them, because, why can't we do this? He said, because of your unbelief. For verily or truly I say unto you, if you have faith, speaking to people here who believe, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. Get out of the way. Spiritually speaking, move out of the way. And it shall remove. Here's the key. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. The title I have today is, My Eyes Perceive Discouraging Mountains, but Faith Has the Power to Remove Them. But my faith has the power to remove them. Sister Franks, if you would pray before we get going today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. My eyes perceive discouraging mountains, but my faith, you may be seated if you're standing, but my faith has the power to remove them. Now, I'm just going to jump on in. Amen, preacher. I'm just going to start off with a real question. And it's I speak this and ask myself, and I ask every one of you to think about this. How many of you in this building right now, I don't care your age, I don't care how long you've been serving the Lord, how many of you have felt, have experienced, been empowered by, been impressed by, led by, or protected by the power of His Holy Spirit? Amen. How many of you ever felt that? You've ever experienced the Spirit of the living God? Hallelujah. Let me ask you this. Has God ever in your life, whether it be 20 years ago, 5 minutes ago, an hour ago, or 10 years ago, has He ever answered a single prayer? Has he ever answered a prayer? Has he ever healed your body before when you had a sickness or you had something come against you? Or maybe it was an inward sickness and not a physical. Has he ever healed you before? Amen. Has he ever healed your brokenness or healed your heart or healed your body or your mind? Has he ever healed you before? Amen. Let me ask you, has he ever touched your mind? Listen, we've got to realize, and I think that this is awesome how the service has gone so far, because God spoke to me and revealed unto me during worship is when our mind is on God, we don't have problems worshiping him. When our mind thinks, well, I'm going to go to church and receive my miracle, it isn't long before we leave with our miracle in our life. Oh, hallelujah. Our mind has potential to receive or to keep from. Amen. We can receive a miracle. We can receive a healing. We can receive deliverance. We can receive that answered prayer again when in our mind we realize and know God is God. God is good. God is never changing. God is for me, and I'm going to receive from God today. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, so he's healed you before. He's touched you before. He's answered your prayer before. He's touched your mind before when your mind goes to scattering about doing this that is not of God, or when your mind begins to think about things that are not holy, or lust comes into your mind and you say, oh God, help my mind, renew my mind. And God removes that thought from your mind. Has he ever done that for you before? Oh, come on. He's touched my mind. I pray every day, renew my mind. Renew my mind. We need to ask God to renew our mind daily. And he has. Let me ask you this. Has he ever provided for you in a time of need? Oh, there has been times when we've had conversations. How we go, oh God, God help us have enough gas to get to the church and back home. Oh God, help us have enough money to pay all the bills this month. Oh God, help us to have enough money to eat properly. We've had those conversations before. And we're in a time once, more than once, when we have personally had conversations like that. How are we going to make it? How are we going to? God, you need to intervene. We're doing everything we need to. We're making decisions the best we can financially. We're doing what your word has taught us. God, we rely upon you right now. And God would send someone or something. And I've found money before. I've opened trash cans and found a $100 bill, have I not? I've received someone shake my hand with a 50 or a 20. In a time when I didn't have money to eat that day. How many of you have ever experienced in some form or fashion God providing for you when you had a time of need, whether it be financial or spiritual? Sometimes we need a spiritual provision. God can send someone, or God can send a friend or the pastor to pray for you. And through that prayer of faith, God minister to you and provide for you. Has he ever done that for you? Oh, come on, somebody. Has he ever done that for you? Amen. Somebody say amen. Has he ever blessed you some sort? Has he ever encouraged you when you've been down? We've been talking on Wednesday. We've been talking a lot about discouragement, and it's been a theme. We've been talking about discouragement. Let me just tell you, if you are able at all, I know you got to work. I know you got to do things. I know you got to travel and those things. But if you are able to be here on midweek service, then you need to try to be here, because we're addressing real issues, real things that we all go through, and we're using the Word of God and the Spirit of God to teach us how to overcome these things. We need preaching, but we need teaching, and you get it on Wednesday night. Hallelujah. We got stuff for the children. We got stuff for the teenagers. You bring them in Jesus' name. Bring yourself. But let me jump back in here. So you have been encouraged before when you felt down. You have been lifted. The Bible teaches us that he is he's the lifter of our head. Oh, come on, somebody. Has he ever encouraged you? I know he has. He's encouraged us. Amen. Has he ever strengthened you? Somebody say, I need some strength today. Well, I'm here to tell you, you're in the right place because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Has he ever strengthened you before? Amen. He strengthened you. He has worked a miracle in your life. Time and time again, he has ministered to us. I know I'm starting fast, but it's all right. You stay with me in Jesus' name. How many of he's ministered to you by show of hands, some form or some way? And if you answered yes to any of that, then why don't you just stand up if you're able? And why don't you just take a moment and say, God, it may have been 5 years ago. It may have been an hour ago or a minute ago. But God, I want to lift my hands. I want to lift my voice. One more time, why don't we give him a praise and give him thanks for the things he has done in our lives and in our hearts. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about you or your brothers or sisters. We're talking about Jesus today. He has ministered to us. You may be seated if you'd like. Amen. We're talking about the King of Kings. We're talking about the Lord of Lords. He's touched our lives. He's healed our bodies. He's answered our prayers. He's given us encouragement through people and other things. He's provided for us. He's mended things that have been broken or separated. He's touched us so many times. Amen. I'm talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about doctors. I'm not talking about preachers. I'm not talking about your family members, though we all may love one another. I'm not talking about human beings. I'm talking about the Alpha and the Omega. I'm talking about the beginning and the ending. I'm talking about the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the all in all, Jesus Christ, the mighty God, who is and was and is yet to come. I'm talking about the Creator. I'm talking about our Savior, Jesus. The living God. He has touched us. He has ministered to us. People of God, I want you to hear me. We've all admitted today that he has ministered to our lives throughout the years. He has moved upon us. And I say to you, he has moved upon you. He has moved upon me. He has forgiven us of our sins. He has ministered to our life, to our families, to our marriages, to our homes, to our needs. He has touched and blessed and saved you. Not because of who you are. He has ministered to us, not because of how much money we have or don't have. He has ministered and loves and sheds his blood upon us and gives his spirit to all, not because of how good you are, how perfect you are spiritually, or imperfect you are. He has not touched you and ministered to you because you're either bad or good, because situations are bad or good. I want you to hear me. He has ministered to us time and time and time again. He has protected you. He has forgiven you. He has encouraged you, covered you, delivered you, healed you, brought peace to you in time of struggle. He has empowered you with his Holy Ghost. He has intervened in situations and moved and blessed you simply because of your faith. It's the truth. Oh, that's a simple sermon. Listen, you can't even be forgiven of your sins without faith. You have to believe that God is God, and you have to believe he will forgive you of your sins. We can't have this Spirit of God without faith. It takes faith to believe. Has anybody in here seen the face of Jesus Christ? No. Has any of you, we feel his spirit, we feel his presence, but we've never with our own eyes, we may have seen angelic beings, but we have never seen the face of Jesus Christ.
But I'm here to tell you right now, He loves us enough and cares for us enough to minister to us. And though we have not with our own eyes physically seen His face, we believe. You know what that is? That is faith. And Jesus said in the Word, blessed are they who have believed and not yet seen. I'm telling you, we have faith, and that's the reason why God ministers. We have got to get this out of our mind. Just because some on television, just because some on the internet, just because some on TikTok, just because I've never known TikTok give ministers license and credentials and they never had to take a test or learn the Bible to be a preacher, but TikTok's got their own things nowadays. We have, and because of these people on TikTok, and not all, and because of the preachers on television, and not all, and because of the people that are out there that you see and you hear on the radio have watered down the message, and because they have made it so shallow, and because they have gotten to a place where they have made things that are genuine not so big of a deal, because they've made it so simple and so shallow, it has become in our society, in our church, and other churches like ours, that we do not realize, because they have used faith as a method to receive finances for themselves, because they have used faith to say, well, you didn't get healed just now because of your faith. That has watered it down and caused some to not realize the power in your belief. If you believe God, then you got to believe He'll heal you. If you believe He forgave you, then you've got to get to a place to believe. You've got to have faith that if He forgave you, He'll deliver you. He'll set you free. He'll do a miracle in your life. You've got to get to a place. And just because others have let faith be a reason why you've not received, God says, if you have faith, you will. Amen. Faith is powerful if it's in God. Oh, come on. Faith is powerful. Your faith is powerful if your faith is in Jesus Christ. Everything else will fail. Everything else is unsure. The doctors can help us, and some medications can help us. But listen, I'm dealing with a sick dad for a couple of years now. A while back, they gave him a year, and it's been 6 months, and they've gave him so much time before that, they didn't give him no time at all. And when you listen, they say, listen, they'll tell my dad, they'll tell my mother, we don't really know. We just know there's nothing else we can do. Doctors can help us, but you can't put your faith in a medicine. You can't put your full faith in a doctor. You can't put your full faith in the counselors of this world. But I'm here to tell you today, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, He is the doctor. He is the counselor. He is the everything. He knows it all. The beginning from the end. Somebody say amen. And He has ministered to us time and time again because of faith. Somebody say faith. Listen to me, being real with you today. I love it. Being real with you today. Sometimes in this life, sometimes on this journey to our final destination, sometimes when storms arise, and they do, sometimes when trials come, and they do, and they will. Sometimes when troubling issues, uncertain situations appear before us, our mind, our eyes get fixated only on the issue. That can become a distraction from your blessing. But sometimes when we go through sicknesses or troubles or whatever the case may be, it's almost like our mind tells our eyes, look at this big mountain. Look at this issue in your life. And we get fixated. We get so focused on the problem and we neglect to think on the solution. Oh, come on. Politicians, they talk about the problem, but no one gives a solution. But we do the same thing. We see when the enemy comes against us, or when we go through a time of trouble or test, we get so focused on the issue and not on the one who can take care of it. I'm speaking the truth to you. I'm being real. I'm talking about myself. We all do it. This pain is too severe. I can't handle it. And we focus and focus and focus on our pain. The stress is too agonizing. I can't handle the stress. The sickness is too bad. The weight is too heavy. The test is too hard. I can't pass it. I don't have enough money. The numbers don't add up. The enemy's attack is too fierce. I can't deal with it. We get like this. Am I telling you the truth? We get like this. I can't handle the enemy's attack. There's trouble on every side. I'm looking over here. I'm looking over there. There's trouble everywhere. I can't handle this issue in my life. I get so frustrated. The frustration seems to be never ending. The mountain before me is too great. Listen, when we get focused on the mountains, we can play a trick on our faith. When we focus too much on the issue and not the solution, we can tell ourselves that we can't overcome. Are you with me? When your eyes are on the magnitude the situations in your life, when your mind is on the magnitude of your problems, your needs, your troubles, your shortcomings, your eyes can manipulate your mind. I see sickness. I see disease. I see sorrow. I see pain. I see bitterness. I see hate. I see negativity. I see the enemy. And we get fixated on that. And if you stay focused on that, your eyes can convince you that your situation is dead. Your situation is helpless. It's too severe. Your problem, your need, your issue is out of reach. You can convince yourself of a miracle, or you can convince yourself of the opposite. And if you focus on the bad, your mind will convince you, because the enemy attacks your mind first. And you can be convinced that your situation is unreachable, unbeatable, that the mountain in your life is too big, is too high and too hard to climb, is too great to overcome. And in reality, when you truly think about it, sometimes it is. Are you with me? Sometimes it is too high to climb. Sometimes it is too great of an issue for you to battle. Sometimes it is too great and too powerful and too big. Sometimes the problem is just out of your reach. You can't overcome it. You feel the pressure. You feel the weight. You see the trouble in your face, and you're fixated on it. In reality, that may be true, that it is all of those things in the natural. In the natural, it may be. In the natural, your mountains may be too big. In the natural, your mountains may be too wide, too hard, too intimidating, too challenging. But listen to me. I'm here to tell you in this service right now, each and every person in this place, myself included, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name, I'm here to tell you right now, in the natural, it may be too hard, but in the name of Jesus Christ, through your faith in Jesus, you can overcome the mountains in your life. In the name of Jesus, your faith can remove that horrible mountain. You've just got to believe and trust in God and trust in the solution. The mountain may be too big, but in Jesus' name, your faith can remove it. I don't have a lot of faith. Use what you got. And God will increase your faith. Use your faith, and your mountain can be removed. For your faith in Christ has more power. Faith. Faith in Christ has more power and authority over any mountain that may stand before you. Are you hearing me? Any mountain. What did he say? Faith is a grain of mustard seed. And you can say to the mountain, be removed. And it will be gone. And nothing, nothing will be impossible unto you. Some have perverted that to $1 million in Jesus' name. It's not there. Well, the word of God's a lie. That ain't what it's referencing. It's referencing things that are issues in our life and spiritual things that come against the world and attack the enemy and people that are oppressed and people have issues. And let's be real, we all have issues. You may have Jesus, but you live in a world full of issues and drama and trouble and situations and temptations. And if Jesus was tempted, you think you're not going to be tempted, but because of Jesus and because he overcome and gave his life, you too can overcome. And nothing can withhold. Nothing can be impossible for you to overcome. You can intervene. You can set free those that are captive through Jesus Christ. You can overcome trials and temptations and struggles and battles. But you've got to have faith. Just a little faith. And nothing, just a little, and nothing will be impossible unto you. Nothing can be too hard if you have faith. Every time I think about faith, it seems personally that my mind goes to a man named Jairus, his daughter. This guy was known. He was a leader. If I'm not mistaken, he was a leader in the synagogue. His daughter was sick. She was about to die. She dies. As he's going to Jesus, she dies. That's a dead situation. He speaks of her. He tells about her. And Jesus arrives to the scene. She's already dead. They tell him. They let him know she's dead. And Jesus is like, she ain't dead. She ain't breathing. She has no heartbeat. Oh, no, no, no. She's not dead. The Bible says in the King James, I believe it is, that they laughed him to scorn. They laughed at him. You're crazy. She's dead. And he said, Jairus, by your faith. And she was made whole, and breath came into her because of one person's faith, her own dad, because of his faith. She was given life because of his faith. The Bible lets us know that amazement took place. She was alive and well, and people seen the glory of God in a dead situation because of the faith of one. Your faith can move mountains. Jesus was walking by. Talk about blind Bartimaeus. Sometimes people get annoying. Bartimaeus was getting annoying to some. Jesus! I see you're here. I know you're here. Have mercy on me. Don't forget me. I'm here. Listen, I need a touch from you. And some were saying, hush. Leave him alone. You're blind. You've been blind. You're blind. You can't see. Just leave him alone. Don't bother him. Do not get to a place where you allow people to dictate if you trust in God or not. It's too bad. It's too big. Lead the master alone. You are bothering him by praying over and over and calling out to him over and over again. Bartimaeus said, "Have mercy on me, Jesus, Son of David. Hey, hey." He would not stop. Those others were telling him to be quiet. Leave the master alone. Jesus like, don't leave him. Let him alone. When people try to get in your mind and in your heart that Jesus wants you to leave him alone, God's telling you, you need to listen to his voice, but he's saying, come. I'm here. Come. I want to touch you. And when Jesus gave him his miracle, he said, what did he say? Your faith, his perseverance, his faith gave him his miracle. Faith the size of a mustard seed. When others say no, your faith says, oh yes. When the enemies and people around you say, just live with it. When the doctor says, well, this is something you're going to have to go through your whole life. Jesus says, oh no, have faith in me. Your faith has made you whole. Faith, your faith is greater than your mountains. One more. There's so many. There's so many wonderful biblical examples. But this one speaks to so many people. This person was known as the woman with the issue of blood. She had a problem for 12 years. She spent all her living. She spent all her money on doctors. But she heard about Jesus. Have you heard about Jesus? She heard that he was coming. She seen the crowd coming, following him. She seen all those wanting a handout. And instead of just wanting a handout, she said, I want to stick my hand out. I want to touch him. He doesn't need to touch me. But if I can get in contact with, if I can touch him, I know I'll be made whole. She made up in her mind, if I could just get to Jesus. She pressed forward. She touches the hem of his garment. I believe Jesus said, whoa! Who touched me? Peter, being Peter, what are you talking about? Look at all these people. They're pushing all over us. They're pushing all over me. They're pushing all over you. What do you mean? Who touched you? Look at all these people. They're touching me for selfish reasons. They're touching me because they think I'm somebody, and I am. They're touching me for selfish reasons, but someone touched me and I felt something come out of me. Why? Because she didn't just touch him wanting a handout. She touched him because she knew, I don't want you to touch me, but if I can just touch you. And when she reached out and put in the effort and touched him, virtue flew, went through him into her. Somebody touched me with a need, not just a want. They wanted, she needed. When we touch Jesus with a purpose, it flows from him. You touch Jesus in your repented prayer, and Jesus flows his grace and mercy into your life and covers your sin and forgives you of all your wrong, and he turns you around. Why? Why does that happen? Because your prayer, your faith that he'll forgive you, is in a purposeful prayer. And because of you did that purposely, you did that with something in your mind. You had a goal. You had a purpose to be forgiven, and it came from him. You've got a sickness and you come for the elders of the church. I need our trust in the word of God, preacher. And the Bible says in James chapter 5 to go before the elders and leaders of the church and let them anoint me with oil and pray the prayer of faith. I don't understand it all, but I trust in the word. I'm coming for a purpose. And when you do that with faith, the power of God moves. Why? Because faith causes God to move mountains. Your faith in God. And what does Jesus say to the woman with the issue of blood after he realizes? She's scared because she touched him. She's scared because he realized, whoa, something happened. Someone just touched me. And he tells her, you don't have to be afraid. Don't be afraid to push your way through to get to Jesus. Push your way through the naysayers. Push your way through those that want. If you've got a need, push your way to the altar. Push your way to Jesus. Trust in him. Push your way to worship. Push your way to praise. Push your way to worship and pray. Push your way. Sometimes you got to push yourself to a side and just do it. And he looks at her. And what does he say in verse 48? In Luke 8, in verse 48, Jesus tells her, your faith, don't be afraid, your faith has made you whole. Faith is greater than your mountains. Your faith in God is greater than your mountains. Listen to me, I'm almost done. It might be 33 minutes, I don't know. Not very long for me. Your faith in God has the power and the authority to move the issues in your life and allow the glory of God to flow in. It doesn't matter what you are going through. It does not matter how giant the mountains in your life may be. It is time for me. It is time for you. It is time for Crossroads Apostolic Ministries to go beyond what we see and get into a place of faith, because sometimes what we see hinders us, but our faith helps us to see with a different kind of lens. It removes the blinders and allows us to see Jesus and not the mountains. It's time for us to walk by faith. Walk by faith. Look with faith, hope by faith, and act on faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us to not look by sight, but by faith. Don't walk by sight, but by faith. By faith. By your faith in God, your mountains will be, not can be, will be.